watch in quiet stars, quiet chords for my guitar, floating on the silence that surrounds us. Quiet thoughts and quiet dreams, quiet walks by quiet streams, climbing hills where lovers go to watch the world below together.
You just heard the voice of Grammy Award-winning vocalist Regina Bell performing her version of the jazz classic Corcovado. The singer-songwriter is the subject of a new episode of Unsung, and stop by up front to chat about her decision to appear on the show. We also take a trip down memory lane and get the backstory on some of her most iconic songs.
Well, good morning, Miss Regina Bell, and welcome to Up Front. How are you?
Good morning, and I am great. It is good to be here.
I know. You know, so... We just saw each other the other night at the Gregory Porter concert.
Yes, and he was amazing.
Was that
singing
not a good
Nat
show?
King Cole. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I told him afterwards, I said, okay, can I be a little prejudiced? I did miss Unforgettable. I said, but you were so amazing for
that. But he opened with Mona Lisa.
Yes.
Which was just like when I heard that beginning,
and
I was
nobody
like,
does that song.
No. No.
So I was.
Which is one of my favorites.
Yes, mine too.
Yeah.
Mine too.
So I was thinking to myself, I was like, gosh, because we've been sort of doing a Black Music Month segment throughout the month of June. And I was like, wait a minute, I need to get her on the show.
Wow, it is June. Okay.
Yeah. So we put in a couple of calls and you're here. Want to say congratulations. You're celebrating a 30th anniversary in the entertainment industry.
31 years.
Wow.
Mother's Day.
Wow.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
I left the Manhattans and did my first gig, had completed my album, and was on my own for the first time on Mother's Day.
Okay.
Leaving the Manhattan. It was a sad day, but it was like, what does Blue say? This is the saddest day of my life.
Yeah.
So, but it was it was an exciting day all at the same time.
Yeah.
Because now I was in charge and not just getting some orders to go here, to be there, whatever. I was Charles in charge. And
yeah.
It's been an amazing ride. It's been an amazing ride.
Now, you're the subject of an Unsung that is going to be airing on Sunday evening.
Yes,
and had an opportunity to check that out. What made you want to do the show? Because a lot of times I think people, when they hear Unsung, they think of an artist that didn't quite make it. And I believe that the series focuses on the ups and downs of just being a musical artist, period.
Yeah. I just was really, when I was asked to do it, I always... I'm willing to tell my story, you know, the good and the bad. I don't like the dwelling on the bad. You know, I have a lot of amazing places that I've been in my life. You know, I've done a lot of amazing things. I've been able to fellowship with a lot of amazing people.
You performed for the president
a few years back. Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that stuff. You know, I don't want to just talk about, you know, some of the mishaps, some of the bad decisions. I don't want to just talk about, because we've all made them. You know, but there are, like the song says, my good ways outweigh my bad days.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely won't complain.
Yeah.
So I want people to be able to see an intimate look at Regina. I want you to see a little bit about my family. I want you to see a little bit about, you know, that though I'm on the road, I'm also a caregiver. You know, I want you to see that, you know, even though there's some gray hair here, a sister still got something to say.
Yeah.
Don't play. You know, you know. 5 kids, 3 ministries, pastorship over 3 churches, still got a career going. I am still a daughter to 2 parents, a sister to a brother who is a star in his own right, you know. So it's a lot of stuff still going on, you know. And so I wanted to give some of my fans and maybe some fans that I will make an inside look. For 27 minutes.
Yeah. And I don't want to give too much away, but one of the things that I learned that I did not know about you is that you were a pupil of Kenny Barron, who's this amazing jazz artist. And when I saw that, I was like, well, wait a minute. So her, you know, your origins are gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You were classically trained
mm-hmm.
with jazz and
mm-hmm.
classical music, but then mm-hmm. you ended up with R&B. But what was one of the lessons that you learned from Mr. Barron?
He didn't really... He wasn't the type teacher where you could come in pretending like you did the work. Mm-hmm. Kenny made you do the work, you know, or prof, as we would call him. he made you do the work. So, like, you know, I might come in and I might sing a little bit. First of all, he didn't even know I could sing.
Wow. Because you were a tuba player, right?
I was a tuba player. Right. When I came to college, though, I kind of gave that up. My dad was kind of adamant about me, you know, hey, you can sing already. Why are you going, okay, really, Daddy? Really? Really? Is that what we're doing? So I majored in accounting and history.
Okay.
Well, I'm not really that great in numbers. I can do some basic stuff, but no, I ain't really trying to get down like that. So the history stayed. And because music is so much a part of my DNA, I was taking classes just because, and just ended up having enough classes to have a minor in it. So, you know, Professor Barron was one of my all-time loves, because when I started learning about jazz, he was certainly one of those that I started studying. I was like, oh, my God, he's right here. I'm taking his class.
Yeah.
You know, and so studying under him, as with all my professors, Professor William Fielder and just different people that I studied under, made sure that I did the work. You know, that is my foundation. That he's a big part of my foundation of don't go in unprepared. You know, when you go in to do a session, you know the music. Don't come in, if you getting ready to do a song, don't come in with paper. Do the homework beforehand. And what you don't know, make it up. They'll appreciate the fact that you were able to give a good presentation without relying on things. You know, so and that's, to me, I think he just really helped me to elevate my gift and go to the next level. Just say that you will stay for always, and always you will be mine, at least till the end of time.
So we just heard a clip from one of my favorite duets of yours, which is not with Peabo Bryson. It's with James J.T. Taylor, All I Want Is Forever.
All I Want Is Forever.
I love that song. Yes. Oh, my God. How did that Me come too. About? How did that Me collaboration too. Come about?
Narda Michael Walden.
Okay.
Now, if anybody is the perfectionist, oh, yeah. My goodness. You want to stab this man. And then when he's not breathing, you want to continue to stab him. Because he's like, okay, 20 more times, my friend. It's that kind of vibe, you know, wow. To make sure that we have it. But he's such a great, great producer, because he's not just somebody who is musically inclined, but he's one of the greater cheerleaders. And I always say the greatest producers are the greatest cheerleaders. I say that about Nick Martinelli, who didn't play any instruments, but could pull, okay, the very soul out of your chest in the studio. So Narda Michael Walden was the one who pulled that session together and just made it work. It was a joy working with JT. I had worked with him before when I was singing background with the Manhattans. So I would cross paths with Kool and the Gang, and me and Kool always joke because our last name is Bell. And so, you know, we always say, "What's up, cuz?"
Yeah.
You know. But getting an opportunity to sing with Too Hot was amazing, because he just nailed it. I mean, his voice was just so smooth, just made it happen, and just made what I do easy.
Yeah. Now, another duet, of course, which everyone knows about, is A Whole New World, that you performed for the Disney film Aladdin.
Yes.
And that's a huge memory for me, because I was I worked at a movie theater.
Okay.
And I was the usher when I first started. And so I would have to go in at the end of each film to clean up the theater. And I would always go in right before the movie, because I wanted to hear that song.
Right.
Hear you guys sing. So how did that come about? And how did that change your career? Because you received a Grammy for that song as well, correct?
Yeah. That was the surprise. When I tell you, I was asked to sing the song. And so, you know, that was behind Peabo and Celine Dion, you know. So it was like when they asked me, did I want to do the new song for the new record, for the new movie, I was like, let me think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you busy? Let me think. No.
Yeah.
No, not ever. Yeah. If you want me to do a Disney song. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So we go in the studio and we do the song and I'm in the midst of touring. So I'm not really ingesting any of this. I'm just kind of working.
It's a job and you're just, yeah.
I'm working. I'm doing what I do. And the next thing I know, the song is like number one and it knocks I Will Always Love You out of the number one spot.
Which that was big at that time.
Big?
Yeah.
Wasn't that bigger than Elvis? Yeah. Okay, some folk gonna get mad.
Yeah.
But I think, if I'm not mistaken, right? That was, so,
yeah.
You know, and I love my sister. Whitney is my girl.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking like, first of all, when they first tell me, I don't even believe it. But then I open up, you know, the music Bible, Billboard, and I'm like, they wasn't lying. It really is number one. And so, you know, my whole world just kind of changed after that. You know, I was telling some of my friends it was a dream that I could not fathom because I had fans from 8 to 80. Who how does that happen? You know, of course, as a little girl, you dream of doing this, but that's the dream manifested in a whole nother way.
Yeah.
Bigger than anything I could have ever dreamed.
If I could, I'd protect you from the sadness in your eyes. Give you courage in a world of compromise. Yes, I would, if I could. I would teach you all the things I've never learned.
You just heard a snippet of one of my all-time favorite songs, and I think this is a song that so many people, when they think about, I'm putting my child out into the world, this is my message for them, and that's If I Could.
Man.
How did that come to you?
My. That is my staple song. I first heard it, I was in The Village, me and Mickey Howard, and we were at a Nancy Wilson concert, and she sang the song, and we were both crying our eyes out. I didn't even have any kids then. And so I'm listening to her sing this song, and I don't really get it. I just know it's a beautiful song and the whole nine. Years later, when I'm in the studio with Nick Martinelli and Greg Filling Games, and Greg says, I really think you should do If I Could. And I'm like, have you heard Nancy sing that song? You're not trying to get me make a fool out myself, right?
Yeah.
And he says, no, you have kids now. So, you know, you got something to say. I think it'll, you know. And so I said, look, we're going to go in. We're going to do this like once or twice. That's all I'm giving you. And if it ain't happening, we're not doing this. And so I went in, and to my surprise, I mean, it's just something else just took over. It's just like a magic just happened in there. It's like God just started speaking through my voice. And all the things that I felt for my own child, it started coming through my voice. And so much so that I even had her to say at the end, Mommy, I love you. You know, so it was just, it's just one of those songs. And so years later now, still people come to me and say, hey, I played If I Could when my son or my daughter went off to the service. I played If I Could with my daughter's father, daughter dance, and just different places. And I played this song and it's healing me. And that means the world to me. And that's bigger than any accolade I could ever receive, because that's what music is supposed to do. It's supposed to help you in your life.
Yeah. And that was that was the first time I had ever received a record for a gift. And if I can jog my memory, my sister gave it to me when I graduated. And it's funny because we're siblings, but she was like, you were my first child in a sense, because we're so close.
Oh,
and
my
so
goodness.
That was her gift to me. And it was like, I had never received a song before. So it was just like, wow, that whenever I hear that song, I always think of that moment because the lyrics and the words were so special. And that was her wish for me.
Was that
song. So
yeah. Thank you. Wow. See, still making memories. And that means the world to me to be, I'm a part of the very fabric of people's lives. That's, you can't pay for that.
Yeah.
That's something different. Thank you. Thank you.
So that was your take on the Phyllis Hyman classic, You Know How to Love Me. Let's talk about your relationship with Phyllis Hyman, because you, if I can jog my memory, you were on her Unsung when they did her. And
yes.
So let's talk about her influence on your career.
Oh my gosh, Phyllis, what can I say? When it comes to anything dealing with the lower registers of my voice, the lower alto, the tenor, that's all Phyllis. You know, I studied her. You know, that my master class is in Phyllis when it comes to, you know, those areas of my music. She was the epitome of beauty in her voice. I don't even know how to say that. Not only as a physical being, you know, this statuesque goddess almost, you know, 6'1" without shoes on, and then gonna put on some 4 or 5 inch heels. What? Confidence. She's everything that, you know, women want to be, you know. And so having an opportunity to actually meet her, spend time with her, sit at her feet and glean, you know, from that field is still an honor to even have those memories to this day. And I really believe that as long as you remember a person, they never die. So, you know, that's my relationship with Phyllis. That's the beauty of having that veteran relationship, the old Jack kind of bringing in the new Jack. It meant the world to me that she would even take time to talk to me like that on that level. Mm-hmm. And she was funny. And she was crazy, you know, just do crazy stuff, you know, and just, you know, made me, you know, unashamed of walking in Regina, you know, being Regina, not trying to, even though we pull from different artists, but being authentic Regina. She made me comfortable in my own shoes.
All right. It's 2018. So what's next for Regina Bell?
Who knows? I have been, I got a cameo for the new movie Deadly Sexy by an author friend of mine, by Beverly Jenkins.
Okay.
Gosh, I'm about to go to South Africa and with Chris Walker and doing a soul jazz festival there. I'm about to be a grandmother again. My daughter's about to have a baby. She's the one who's on If I Could, and she's about to have a baby.
Wow.
So she's going to have her own If I Could.
Yeah, full circle moment.
Yes. My husband and I are pastoring 3 churches here in Atlanta. And I'm looking forward to writing more. I'm looking forward to just doing more. I'm so alive at this stage in my life. I can't believe how alive I feel. I would think after 31 years that I would be tired, but I'm not tired yet, you know. And I look forward to whatever God is going to put on my table. My prayer is that I'm ready, that when it comes to the table, I can just snatch it up and say, all right, what's next?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Miss Regina Bell, thank you so much for being a guest on Upfront today. Again, your Unsung is airing on Sunday evening at 9 p.m. on TV One, so we'll be tuning in.
Please do. I love the station 91.9. Don't play, y'all. Keep it locked right here.